focus on is beginning there in verse 13, where the Bible reads, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" And the verse that I wanted to focus on is the famous verse there in Matthew 16, 18, where it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What I want to preach about this morning are the gates of hell. Now, look at the next verse in verse 19, and this will help you to understand what he means by the gates of hell. He says in verse 19, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is a gate, or what is the purpose of a gate? Well, a gate is an entrance point. When you build a wall around a city, obviously you have to have a way to get in and a way to get out. And that's what the gate is. The Bible talks about entering in through the gates, or entering through the gate, many, many times throughout the Bible. And in regard to salvation, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," meaning the narrow gate. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so what the Bible's saying there from that scripture in Matthew 7 is that the way to hell is very broad, meaning that there's more than one way to get there. Most people are going there. The majority is on their way there. You know, you can walk in at a lot of different points because that gate is so wide, there are a lot of ways to get in. Here the Bible talks about the gates, plural, of hell, okay, referring to the entrance points or the ways to go to hell. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is the key to the kingdom of heaven? Or what is the purpose of a set of keys to the kingdom of heaven? To let someone in and to open the gate, right? I mean, what do you need a key for? To unlock the door, to unlock the gate. And so when he says to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven," okay, that is in contrast to the gates of hell. And so when we think of the gates of hell, what are they? Catholicism, Islam, you know, I mean, name all the different false religions you want to name. Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. And, you know, those false doctrines and those false ways of salvation that are truly gates unto hell will not prevail against the church. Okay? Talking about the institution that Jesus Christ set up there. Now, go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to preach a sermon this morning explaining to you how it is that people go to hell. All the different gates that there are that lead to hell. All the different ways that a person can be unsaved. Now, it's very easy to explain, and it's very quick to explain what it takes to get to heaven. But there are many ways to get to hell. You see, there's only one way to go to heaven. And there are lots of ways to go to hell. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. Look what the Bible says in Luke 13, verse 23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. "And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." So the Bible says here to strive to enter at the straight gate because many, and remember this is in response to "are there few that be saved?" Many will seek to enter into that gate after it's too late, he said. After the door is already shut, after it's too late, many will try to enter the straight gate at that point, but at that point it's already too late for them. And then they'll begin to say, you know, Lord, Lord, open to us. And then it says in verse 26, then shall they begin to say, ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first and there are first which shall be last. So there's one way to heaven. It's a narrow way. There are few that be saved. Many, many people are not saved. The majority is not saved. And there are many different ways to go to hell. And we're going to talk about that. There's one way to go to heaven. Lots of ways to go to hell. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. Well, what's the answer to this question? 2 + 2 = 4. How many right answers are there to that question?
One.
How many wrong answers are there?
One.
As many as you want. And that's how everything in life is. There's one right way, and there's a million different wrong ways. You know, when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, he kept trying different filaments. He went through, I think, well over 1,000 different filaments that didn't work before he found the one that works. You know, there are a lot of things that don't work when you're making a light bulb. There was one thing he found at that time that did work. And so there are lots of wrong answers when it comes to salvation and one right answer. Let me just start out by just nailing down the right answer quickly. What is the right answer? What must we do to be saved? What is the way of salvation? Well, the best way to sum it up is with one word, believe.
Amen.
Or you could choose the noun, faith. Those two words are identical. One's a verb, one's a noun. Let me just read for you. You don't have to turn these. I'm just going to read for you some scriptures here just to make sure you understand this. Then I'm going to get into all the ways of going to hell. Here's the one way to go to heaven. Luke 7:50 says, he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. See how faith saves you? See how your faith saves you according to Luke 7:50? John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in case you didn't get it, he said it again in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 11:25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then at the end of the book of John, he said in chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What must I do to be saved? The question's asked in Acts 16. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth.
Amen.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And I'm skipping a lot of them there, even in my notes, because I just have so many verses here that, first of all, my list is not complete. Second of all, I'm skipping a lot on my list and just trying to hit the main highlights. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is the key? It grants access.
Believe.
And what is the key that opens the door of salvation? He says, well, faith is what gives us access into that grace wherein we stand. We're saved by grace, but through faith, because faith is the key. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Oh, believe and faith are two different things. Well, first of all, you need an English lesson.
Right.
Second of all, the Bible says that to be justified by the faith of Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ. People say, oh, it's the faith of Christ that saves you, it's not your faith. You know, people just twist scripture, my friend.
Yeah.
Luke 7:50 says, thy faith has saved you. Right there. Thy faith has saved thee. And here he said, we believed in Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We believe. He says in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For we through the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 5, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, have I misinterpreted every single one of these verses, or is salvation by faith alone? I mean, am I wrong about all? I mean, all those verses that I just went through, all those scriptures that are so clear, that are so explicit, that whosoever believeth will be saved, have all of them been misinterpreted here, or are they all right? Are they all telling us the truth? Is there only one way to heaven?
Faith
in Jesus. Okay, but so that's pretty simple, right? Anybody have any questions about that? All right, because I got more that I skipped. I want to go back over. But anyway, what are the gates of hell? How do people go to hell? We know how they go to heaven, right? Believing in Jesus, believing on Jesus, putting their faith in Jesus. That's it. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, and let me show you the first way that people go to hell. Because we're going through the gates of hell this morning. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against this church, because we are exposing them today, and we expose them constantly, and we will not be corrupted by these lies and heresies and false doctrines that I'm going to go over a little later in the sermon. But first of all, let me just express an obvious gate of hell. Number one is not hearing the gospel. Now, not hearing the gospel is going to send you to hell. Say, oh, I don't believe it. Well, look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, isn't that telling us right there that if we don't shine the glorious light of the gospel, but rather we hide the gospel, it's hid to those that are lost, and they will be damned. They will go to hell because they didn't hear the gospel clearly preached, and they did not hear the plan of salvation in a clear way. They're not going to be saved.
Amen.
They're going to go to hell. Now people say, well, if people have never heard it, they get a free pass. Well, good night. Let's call all the missionaries home then. Ignorance is bliss for these people, right? No, the truth of the matter is that every single person on this earth has a responsibility in the course of their life to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not hearing a clear enough presentation, or not hearing it clearly, or not hearing enough of the Word of God is not going to be an excuse for anyone. The Bible says the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by His power and God. He said they're without excuse. Every person on this earth will be judged on the basis of whether or not they have believed or not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the number one way for people to go to hell is when they just don't hear the gospel. When they just don't hear, and it's if our gospel be hid. Notice whose responsibility it is to preach the gospel, ours. Number two, go to Acts 4. The first gate of hell is not hearing the gospel. Secondly, it's by not believing in the name of Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible reads, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to be saved without the name of Jesus?
Nope.
No way. So right there we can see that a lot of people are going to hell. Because anybody who does not have their faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to heaven. I mean, the Bible says that they are condemned because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's that name?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. That is the name associated with salvation. That is the name that is above all names. And there is no salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So those that are Muslim, they're not believing in the name of Jesus Christ to save them. And we'll get to them a little bit later in the sermon. Those who are worshiping other gods in Africa or in India or in China, if they're not trusting that name, you say, well, but they have a faith in God in general. Well, they believe in intelligent design. Well, they believe in a supreme being. Is that going to get you to heaven? Supreme being can't save you. Intelligent design can't save you. Believing in God in general can't be saved. You can't save you. You must believe on Jesus. It's clear that that is the name that we must believe in. But number three, go to John chapter 8. There are many people, my friend, who believe that they're saved and they're not. And there are many people that you might think are saved that are not. Or that someone else might think are saved that are not. And we need to understand and identify this morning who is unsaved. What are the gates of hell? What are the different things that can cause a person to go to hell? Well, number one, if people don't hear the gospel, they're going to go to hell. They need to hear that gospel so they can believe it. How else do they believe on him of whom they've not heard? Number two, they've got to believe in that name, Jesus, and not some other name, some other religion, some other false god or false doctrine. But number three, look at John chapter 8. In verse 24, the Bible says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, what did he mean by that? Flip back to Isaiah 43. We went over this a couple weeks ago. But if you compare John 8, 24 to Isaiah 43, 10, where the Bible reads in Isaiah 43, 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Do you see that statement? Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Go, if you would, to Romans 10. And you see, when you look at Isaiah 43, where he said, I'm he, what did he mean by that? He said, there's none else. Beside me, there's no Savior. Beside me, there's no God. So when Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, you have to ask yourself, what did he mean by that? When he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, you have to ask yourself, who? That you're who? We have to believe that you're who? Well, you know, when he says, I am he, what he means is that there's none else. He said, you got to believe that I'm it, that I'm the only way to heaven, okay? And so I'll say this. One of the gates of hell is by believing that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. So not only do you have to hear the gospel, not only do you have to believe in the name of Jesus, but thirdly, you got to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you don't believe that he is it, if you do not believe I am he said, you shall die in your sins, which ties in to my next point in Romans 10. You have to believe that Jesus is the Lord to be saved. Not just a good teacher, as Islam will teach. Not just an anointed prophet, as Islam will teach. But you have to believe that he is the Lord. Look at Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it says in verse 13, shall be saved. Now, what's the name that's associated with salvation according to Acts 4?
Jesus Christ.
And according to John 3:18 and many other places? Jesus, right? And when the Bible talks about confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I want you to listen very carefully at this point. Don't think to yourself, oh, I already understand salvation. I don't need this sermon. No, you need to hear what I'm about to say. This is critical. In Romans 10:9, he says that in order to be saved, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, in modern Bibles, this is changed and corrupted. And it says you have to confess that Jesus is Lord. And people will twist that and say, well, you know, you have to confess that Jesus is Lord, meaning Lord like the boss. Because Lord also in the Bible means boss, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll talk about a Lord and his servants, because the Lord is the master or the boss. And so what they'll say is, well, if Jesus isn't the boss in your life, then you're not saved. You know, so it's like you have to work your way to heaven by obeying your boss, obeying your Lord. And this is called lordship salvation. Have you ever heard the term lordship salvation?
Yeah.
When people say lordship salvation, they're referring to people who teach that Jesus has to be your boss and your master, meaning you have to obey him to be saved, which is basically a works-based salvation of obedience instead of one of faith in Christ. Okay, so that's lordship salvation. It comes from the NIV and other versions changing this to say Jesus Lord. But the way it says it in Romans 10:9 is you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Basically, that is identifying Jesus as the person, the Lord. The Lord Jesus. Basically, those two are combined. And the NIV also removes literally scores of times where those two words are put together like this. Lord Jesus Christ, they'll shorten it to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or they'll shorten it to just Christ. You know, they remove a lot of these titles, okay? So, look, pay close attention to the connection between verse 9 and verse 13. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus to be saved, right? And in verse 13, we find out why. For means because, right? The reason you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus is because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what is that name?
Jesus.
But wait a minute. Isn't this quoted in the Old Testament also? It comes from the Old Testament. It comes from Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, he says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Then in Acts chapter 2, he quotes it in verse 21 or 23, somewhere around there. He says, this is that which was written in the prophet Joel. And he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, the name of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which in the Hebrew tongue is Jehovah. And he says you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So when Joel and them were calling on the name of the Lord, what name were they calling on the name Jesus in the Old Testament?
No.
What about in Genesis chapter number 4 when it talks about Enos and it says, it then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Back in Genesis 4, people are called upon the name of the Lord. Were they calling on the name of Jesus?
Nope.
No.
What about Abraham when the Bible says that Abraham in Genesis 12 called upon the name of the Lord? What was he calling upon? The name of Jesus? No. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew God by his name of God Almighty. What about when Moses talks about calling upon the name of the Lord? What about when David in the book of Psalms talks about calling upon the name of the Lord in Psalm 116? What name was he calling on? Jesus? No. Jehovah. They were calling upon the Lord God of the Old Testament as they knew him. God Almighty, Jehovah, whatever you want to, whichever time period you want to talk about, what name they were referring to him. Now, wait a minute. Do you see how in the New Testament that is equated with calling on Jesus? Mm-hmm. Calling on Jehovah? Calling on Jesus? Because you know why? Because it's the same person.
It's the same.
Because Jesus is God. So, is this saying that if you believe in Jesus as a good prophet, you'll be saved? Or is it saying you believe in the Lord Jesus, meaning that when you're calling upon Jesus, you're calling upon the name of the Lord because you believe Jesus is God, my friend?
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying here? You can't just call on Jesus. You got to call on the Lord Jesus. You can't just believe in Jesus. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So people who are believing in a Jesus that's not the Lord have the wrong Jesus.
Right. Yep.
They might as well believe in Jesus down the street in South Phoenix.
Yep.
You know, just because somebody's named Jesus, if it's not the Lord, Amen. It's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
Because the Jesus of the Bible is the Lord. And it's so easy to prove this because in the Old Testament, you will see literally over 1,000 times that term, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, in all caps, a name, okay? And in the Hebrew tongue, that is Jehovah, okay? Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson. Why does our Bible change the Hebrew word Jehovah, or I shouldn't say change. Why does our King James Bible translate the Hebrew word Jehovah into the English word the Lord? Shouldn't it just say Jehovah? Now, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, right?
Right.
And, you know, I remember as a kid, I wondered, that's a pretty good point. You know, why is it that we have translated? Now, do little kids know about translating from Hebrew into English on an expert level? No, and I was no exception. So, you see, this is the mistake that people make when they worry about things that are out of their realm of knowledge. Are you listening? You see, a little boy is not qualified to go back into the Hebrew and Greek. And you know what? That little boy was no more qualified than 99% of pastors who go back to the Hebrew and Greek.
Right.
Without being fluent in those languages and having a more than a rudimentary knowledge of those languages. And so I, as a little boy, I wondered, you know what? Why is it that if it's in Hebrew as Jehovah, why is it translated as the Lord over 1,000 times in the Old Testament? Why did they do that? But you know what? I just decided that I wasn't an expert in Hebrew. And I figured, you know, someday I'll probably understand that. And you know what? I understand it perfectly today.
Good.
And let me explain to you why. Because in the New Testament, the word Jehovah is never used one time. Never. The New Testament just calls him the Lord.
Right.
So let me ask you this. If Jesus himself quotes the Old Testament and translates Jehovah as the Lord, or the Greek word being Kyrios, okay? If Jesus himself translates it as the Lord, and if the apostles, every time they quote Old Testament scripture, always translate it as the Lord, then do you think that the English translators of the King James Bible knew what they were doing when they translated it exactly the same way that Jesus and the apostles and the Holy Ghost and every writer of the New Testament did? And here's what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done. They've gone back into the New Testament and inserted the word Jehovah throughout the New Testament, even though it never occurs in the Greek tongue. Never. They've gone back in, and every time it says the word Lord or Kyrios, they translate that as Jehovah. Except in one place. Philippians 2.
Yeah.
Because if they did it there, I mean, they're doing it over and over again. They're translating this word into the English as Lord, 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 Lord. They're changing it to Jehovah, 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 right? Except when you get to Philippians 2, because you know what it would say if they translated it that way?
Yeah,
that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah,
right,
to the glory of God the Father.
Yeah.
Now that wasn't going to work for them. I mean, think about this now. So you see the hypocrisy there?
Yeah.
Of taking that word and translating it as Jehovah when it was never any such thing. So all that to say this. I'm not trying to go real deep into the language here right now. But all that to say this, the King James Bible is right.
Amen.
You don't need to go back to the Hebrew. You don't need to go back to the Greek. Because if you go back to the Hebrew and you go back to the Greek, you know what you're going to figure out? This is translated right.
Amen.
They were right when they said the Lord, because that's how Jesus and the apostles did it in the New Testament. And you know why they did it that way? To help you see more clearly that Jesus is the Lord, because he's called over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Because he wants you to know that Jesus is not just a man. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. But he was the Lord himself.
Right.
In flesh. Made flesh. And so I hope that helps you to understand that. But I'm going to say this right now. People who don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord are not saved.
Amen.
And hang your lordship salvation. That just shows you don't even understand the word Lord. You don't even understand Romans 10. You don't understand the Bible, okay? Because the Bible's clear when it says that you have to believe he's the Lord. He said you have to believe I am he, or you'll die in your sins. He said before Abraham was, I am. Referring to when the burning bush was there, and he said, I am that I am. And on and on and on, we can prove that Jesus is God. But it's not enough for me to just prove to you that Jesus is God. I'm going to right now flat out tell you, anybody who believes that Jesus is not the Lord of the Old Testament, that he is not the God of the Bible, is not saved.
Amen.
That's why the Mormons aren't saved. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses are not saved. And that is why Muslims are not saved. Even though every Muslim will tell you, I believe in Jesus. Every Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But do they believe in the Lord Jesus?
No.
Nope.
Not in the sense that the Bible is using the word Lord as a name for who God is, identifying him as God. And so the Muslims aren't saved. You say, come on, Pastor Anderson, are you telling me that all billion Muslims are on their way to hell? Yes. And that's what he meant when he said few are saved. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. First of all, people who've never heard the gospel aren't saved. Period. Now look, there are a lot fewer of them than you think. Because, I mean, you know, you run into people. I think the average person in America probably hears the gospel about 10 times in their life before they die and go to hell, if they live out their days. I mean, it might not be the clearest presentation in the world. That's our job, to go bring them that. You know, that's Faithful Word Baptist and every other good Baptist church that's got a Bible in hand and goes out and gives a clear plan of salvation. But you know what? If they don't hear it, they're going to hell. If they don't associate salvation with the name Jesus, they're going to hell. And obviously, we're talking about people in English. If it's Spanish, it could be Jesus. You know, if it's German, it's Jesus. Don't get all weird on me on that. Okay? I'm speaking English this morning. Is that all right? Number three, if they believe that there's any other way, if they say, well, Jesus is a way, But there are other ways also. Well, no, they're not saved either. They don't believe Jesus is the Lord. And notice, I didn't say Jesus is Lord. I said Jesus is the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? All right? And look, that's what he says there. And I know Jesus is Lord and he's the Lord. I get that. But in this passage, though, in Romans 10, he's associating it with an Old Testament quote about believing on the Lord, which is a person called Jehovah. Okay? If they don't believe Jesus is God, they're not saved. There goes Mormonism. There goes not Catholicism. We'll get to them in a minute. Believe me. Mormonism, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism. I mean, we've just damned billions of people to hell right now. That's why it says there are a few that be saved. But now let's get to those who claim that they believe in Jesus. Because even those who claim the name of Jesus, and even those who will tell us that he is equivalent to the Lord, many of them aren't even saved. And let me prove it to you. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is not a very encouraging sermon. But let me tell you something. It's a sermon that we need to hear. Because a lot of people go through life with rose-colored glasses on, pretending that things are better than they really are. And we need to be realistic today and understand the truth of the world that we live in. And maybe if we'll understand the truth of the matter on who is going to heaven and who is going to hell, maybe it'll motivate us to give the gospel to more people. And maybe we'll stop assuming that everyone around us is saved just because they say they're a Christian, and maybe we can win some souls to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of people that we know. Boy, I look back and I kick myself so often when I look back over my high school days. I was surrounded by close friends that I believed were Christian. And looking back, I realized that they were not saved. The vast majority were not saved. Once I learned more about the churches that they went to, and when I am in contact with them now and seeing their doctrine and seeing the things that they say they believe, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, if I would have known these things, if I would have understood this sermon, and if I would have taken the time to ask them what they believe, you know, I believe I could have got many of them saved. I believe they would have been receptive to the gospel. But I was just, oh, you're Christian? Great. And by the way, listen to me, young man. Listen to me, young lady. There were many times that I dated girls that said they were Christian, and I just assumed that just means that you're saved. That's a dumb thing to do. And I thank God that he protected me from accidentally marrying somebody who wasn't saved, because I wasn't smart enough to delve a little deeper and check key doctrines there. Because looking back, there were a lot of, you know, I went to a public school for my last few years of high school, and I just thought, oh, you're Christian? Great, you know? And there was just, you know, I knew I wasn't supposed to date an unbeliever now. But I would go out with girls that were just Christian. Now, I would take them to my church, and that usually scared them off, you know. They heard some real preaching. But anyway, I'll say this. You know, those who just say, I'm a Christian, that doesn't make them saved. And you got to be careful. You got to be aware of that. And especially when it comes to choosing a husband or choosing a wife, that is critical. You better make sure that you're on the same page spiritually. But many of them, of course, later turned out not to be saved. I thank God for guiding my steps and directing my path in that regard, because, you know, there are a lot of people. And I knew this. I knew this much when I was in high school. Well, if they're Pentecostal, that's bad. Because they believe you can lose your salvation. I knew they weren't saved. And I knew that if they were, Catholic, you know, that's not Christian. You know, those things were drilled into me as a young person. So I stayed away from the Catholics and Pentecostals. But, you know, everybody who went to so-and-so community church or, you know, so-and-so, I mean, you know, Episcopalian, whatever, you know, you believe in Jesus, great. No, that's foolish. Because look what the Bible says in Matthew 7. Not everyone that say, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So does everybody who's using the name of Jesus now, because remember, we already eliminated those who've never heard. We eliminated those who don't believe in Jesus or the name of Jesus. We eliminated those that will not admit that he's the Lord. We eliminated those who believe that there are other ways to heaven besides Jesus. But here's a crowd that is saying, Lord, Lord, unto Jesus. And he said, not even all of them are going to make it. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, a lot of people will isolate verse 21 and just basically teach, well, see right there, you've got to do the will. That means you've got to do works. You've got to work your way to heaven. Yeah. Well, if you just read the next two verses, it becomes obvious that's not what he meant.
Yeah.
Okay. Because look what he says next, and I'll prove it another way. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day. We're not talking about a few people who thought they were saved and really weren't. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Is that works?
Yep. Yeah.
And in thy name have cast out devils? Is that works?
Yeah.
And in thy name done many wonderful
works?
Need I say more? So what are these people trusting in three different ways?
Works.
We did works. And it's funny because people are so blind today. Listen to me now. People that are not saved, the God of this world has blinded their minds. They have the veil over them when they read scripture. They can't understand. And people are so warped and so blinded, people will literally say, Pastor Anderson, this verse is rebuking your easy believism. I mean, how blind would you have to be to actually think that? See, this proves that if people just believe and they think it's just faith and just believe and that's it, and there's no, you know, turn from your sins and repent of your sins and make Jesus the Lord of your life and give your life. See, if you just preach believe only, these are why you're creating these false converts. Is that what these people's problem is?
No, not at all.
Boy, these people, they're so mixed up just thinking it's believe only. Can't you tell? Lord, Lord, we believed in you. Lord, Lord, what about John 3:16? Lord, you said it was by faith alone. I had faith. What happened? Is that what these people are saying? Now look, obviously you and I will be granted access. No question about that. But if you weren't, is this what you'd be saying?
No way.
You'd be saying, God, is John 3:16 a lie? You said it's faith. You said believe. How did I not believe? Of course I believed. Sorry, you didn't do the works. Sorry, didn't repent of all your sins. Sorry, still drinking. Sorry, you know, still smoking. Sorry, you know, still on drugs. Sorry. Is that? And by the way, a ton of Christians are on drugs. They're called prescription drugs.
Right.
It's
yeah.
The same stuff that's sold on the street. It's just a different label on the bottle.
Yeah.
That's a whole other sermon. But anyway, how blind do you have to be to apply this to a faith alone preacher?
Pretty much.
I mean, it just shows you how blind they are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because this is clearly people who are trusting works. They spell it out that they're trusting works. There's no doubt about it. And look what he says to them. And then will I profess unto them, I used to know you.
Nope.
Is that what he said? No, he said, then will I profess unto you, I never knew you.
That's right.
I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now look, what's he saying here? You say, but it says they have to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, I don't know if you were listening in that long litany of scriptures, you know, that I gave when I went through all the believe verses, but here's one. John 6:40 that I alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. So what is the will of the Father? That you, in this context, it's that you believe on him whom God hath sent. That's what Jesus told us the will of the Father is. That everyone who sees him believes on him and gets everlasting life. That's the will. You can't just decide what you want the will to be. Oh, that means keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, that means, no. It wasn't the will that they did works. That was their problem, is that they were trusting works. The will was, John 6:40, that they would believe on him. And then he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You say, well, see right there, if you sin, you're not saved. No, we're all sinners, but wait a minute. What were they glorifying? Their what? Their works. And what were those works? They prophesied, they cast out devils, and did many wonderful works in thy name. You know what he's saying? He's saying those works were works of iniquity. Because let me tell you something. When you're not saved, and you're prophesying in the name of Jesus, you're not helping the kingdom of God. That's a work of iniquity right there. When you get up and preach the word, and you're not saved. You're preaching false doctrine.
Right.
Yeah.
You're preaching iniquity. You're preaching lies. Okay? And when you're casting out devils, and you're not even saved, you're Benny Hinn. You know what I mean? I mean, that's all. And so it's not hard to understand that passage. But let's go to one more place. Go to Galatians 5, because when we're talking about the gates of hell, we must stop at this point and look at Matthew 7 and Galatians 5 and tell you that if you're trusting in works, you're not saved. Now, a lot of people will say this. Well, didn't these people in Matthew 7, didn't they believe on him? Because how could you do that stuff without believing on him? Why are you preaching in his name if you don't believe in him? But wait a minute. Wait a minute now. They're believing in him and something else. They don't have all their faith in Jesus.
Right.
You can't believe in Jesus plus whatever. You can't put the new wine of Jesus into the old bottle of Catholicism or the old bottle of work salvation. You know, you better get a new bottle and put new wine into new bottles. Jesus is not something that you add to a false religion.
Right.
Well, I'm Buddhist, but I'm a born-again Buddhist. I believe in Jesus also. Well, I'm Catholic, but I'm a born-again Catholic. I'm praying to Mary and Jesus. I'm trusting the priest and Jesus. I'm trusting my works and Jesus. And a lot of Catholics today, listen to me now, they are deceived because this is what they say. They say, well, if believing's all you have to do, I'm covered. I'm doing this other stuff just to make sure. I'm doing the faith and the works, so I'm covered both ways. If you're right, I'm covered. But if God demands works too, I'm still covered because I'm doing them. That's what they say. Wait a minute. They're missing it. Well, you know what? Let's cover it with Allah and Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's cover it by transcendental meditation of Buddhism. Just in case, so we don't end up as a maggot or something. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to get reincarnated as a maggot. So I better make sure that I meditate and get my karma and my chi and my zen right. Just in case Buddhism's true. That way I can be reincarnated as, I don't know, whatever. You know, the Dalai stinking lama, man. That's, you know, that'd be a great way to go. If Buddhism's right, or at least some kind of a kung fu master I can come back as. I'll come back as a worm. Okay, so no, you know, you can't do that. You can't cover yourself and say, well, I'm going to cover myself with Buddhism. I'm going to pray to Mecca 5 times a day, and I'm going to learn kung fu and do, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with kung fu, okay? I'm just being silly, okay? You know, I'm going to go to a Baptist church. I'm going to pray the rosary. I'm going to kiss the Pope's big toe. I'm going to light candles to Mary. I'm going to burn incense unto 1,000 different Hindu gods. I'm going to, you know, read the Tao Te Ching. I'm going to memorize the Bible. You know what? I'm going to put a sticker on the back of my car that says coexist with every symbol on it. And I'm covered. No, the Bible says you have to believe in Jesus with all your heart.
Amen.
Right.
Love the Lord with all your heart. You can't sit there and mix all these different things. Okay, and so look at Galatians 5. You say, well, I'm Catholic, I'm covering my bases because I believe in Jesus and I trust works. No, you're not saved. You're going to hell. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now look, what do you not understand about that verse right there where it says, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, if Christ profits you nothing, does it sound like you're going to heaven?
No.
I mean, that's a pretty big profit right there. Soul saved, on your way to heaven. He says, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And look what he says. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Does it sound like that person's going to heaven?
No.
He's become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. These are people who thought you had to believe and be circumcised. Now, these people aren't saying that you have to live a whole good life and keep the whole law and work your way to heaven all the way. They're only adding one thing, are they not?
Yeah.
One thing, and it's a one-time event. You get circumcised once, my friend. And he says right there that if you think it's believe plus a one-time thing, circumcision, Okay, well, if you're going to add that law, you got to add the whole law. You're a debtor to do the whole law. Mm-hmm. And he says, you are not saved. Christ is of no effect unto you. Okay, well, what if we just switch out circumcision for something else? Church membership.
Yeah.
You got to have believe plus church membership. Or baptism. You got to believe and be baptized. And if you're baptized, you're saved. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Wouldn't that be the same thing? You're adding something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's a one-time thing. Or, you know, believe plus speak in tongues. Believe plus baptism. Believe plus circumcision. Believe plus... And look, it doesn't matter what you're adding. Because there are many gates to hell.
That's right.
And, you know, as hell enlarges herself, who knows? Maybe new gates are being constantly installed. That's the way I see it, my friend. Or maybe the same old gates are just being polished up and cleaned up and put a different label on them. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And I'll tell you this, those who trust faith plus works are not saved. The only one who is saved is that one who is trusting in Jesus alone.
Amen.
Alone. Nothing else. And lastly, this is the last thing. Go to 1 John 5:10. And this is a controversial point amongst most people, but really, it's not difficult to understand this final point because really common sense will tell you that this point is true. But then I'm also going to show it to you from Scripture. So common sense is going to nail this one down, but then also Scripture is going to nail it down for you. And so I don't see how this is such a controversial point whenever I make it. Not in our church, of course, because our church is a church that knows the Bible, thank God. But I'll say this, if you believe that a person can lose their salvation, you're not saved.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Period. And I don't care whether people like that or not, that is the truth as sure as I'm standing here.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'll tell you why. Here's why common sense tells you that that's true. Common sense tells you that if a person thinks that they can lose their salvation by how they live their life or what they do, that person is trusting works.
That's right.
So really, this is already covered under point five. Because if you think you have to be good to stay saved, that's the same as believing that you have to be good to get saved.
Yeah.
Either way, well, you don't have to do the works to get saved, but you have to do the works to stay saved. Can somebody explain to me what the difference is? You're still saying you have to do works to be saved. And so if a person believes they can lose it, they're saying, I have to live my life to a certain standard, whatever that, and different people have different standards for this. And whenever I dip below that standard, I'm going to lose my salvation. And that means that that person who believes that's not saved because they're not even trusting in faith to save them. They're trusting in works to save them. But let me just prove it to you from the Bible. Look at 1 John 5:10. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Who is that witness according to the context of the chapter, if you read the whole chapter? The Holy Ghost. Because the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost bearing witness and so forth. That's the context. So if you believe on the Son of God, who do you have living inside you? Remember last week's sermon? And he says this, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So there's two kinds of people in this world. There's those who believe on the Son of God, and then there are those that are making God a liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they're making God a liar is because they don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. And what's the record? This is the... Oh, good, it's here. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's a pretty clear statement on what the record is. And I see three key elements in that record. Number one, I see that God has given. Is this something that we pay for or earn or purchase or work for, or is it just given to us? It's the gift of God's eternal life. So the first element I see is that it's a gift that God has given to us, okay? And then the second element I see is what he gave us, eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary life?
No.
No, Jesus said, whosoever liveth in me and liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That shows right there that one of the three things in this, and it's not like God's asking us to believe a whole lot here. I mean, is verse 11 a super long verse?
No.
But it's the record that you got to believe, or else you're calling God a liar. And if there's any aspect of verse 11 that you don't believe, you're not saved. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You're making God a liar. He's not He's not putting this giant litany of things in this particular scripture saying, you know what, this is the record, believe it all or be damned. Now look, I do believe that every person who is saved believes the entire Bible. That's in a whole other sermon. Very clear on that. Jesus is the Word. The Bible even talks about people who remove one verse are going to split hell wide open in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. You know, anybody who is saved and has the Holy Ghost inside them believes the entire Bible. Anybody who rejects any aspect of the Bible's clear teaching is not saved. I believe that. But here he's giving us a very short, succinct, clear record that you believe if you're saved and you don't believe if you're lost. It's that simple. He says this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You got to believe it's a gift, you got to believe it's through Jesus, and you got to believe it's eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's salvation. Yep. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't believe that it's eternal, you think you're working your way to heaven. Because whenever you talk to people out on door-to-door soul winning, and you ask them what they have to do to be saved, and they might say, believe in Jesus, ask Jesus to save you, you know, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, and it sounds like a pretty good answer. But then you'll ask him, can you lose it? And then they say, yes, of course you can lose it. Well, then usually the next thing they say to you is, well, you can't just live however you want.
Yeah.
You can't just live any old way. Now, doesn't that prove that what they just said a minute ago was not really true about
mm-hmm.
what they believe?
Yeah,
right.
Because when I asked them what we had to do to be saved, it's just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that what they just said?
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden it's, well, you can't live your life any way you want. So you see how when people believe you can lose it, and some of them will get crafty with it, like, well, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I believe you can walk away from salvation.
Yeah.
He'll never let, you know, we're in Christ's hand. He'll never let go of us, but we can let go of him. Well, let me tell you something. If Christ is holding me and I'm holding him and I let go,
He's still
holding on. So I don't understand what they mean by, you know. I'm trying to walk away, you know. It's like, he's got a pretty strong grip. You're not going to walk away. And this is what they say.
Yeah.
Well, it's just if you stop believing, they'll say. Well, and then here's what they'll say, though. Whenever, beware of this stop believing stuff. Because then usually what they'll say is, well, when a person goes out and quits going to church and starts living a sinful life, that proves they don't believe. So now all of a sudden, it's just works. They're not doing the works, therefore they're not believing. And that's just another way of just saying that they're going to lose it because they're not doing the works. I mean, you know, it's just they try to hide it and camouflage it so many different ways. You know, well, if you're, but look, here's what I say about this whole stop believing thing. Once you've been saved, once you've been illuminated, once the Holy Spirit lives inside you, you're not going to stop believing. Now, I believe you can doubt. Most people in the Bible doubted at some time or another. The Bible talks about doubting, John the Baptist doubted. Okay, but here's the thing. Think about this. Let's say little kids are lied to and told that Santa Claus is real. Well, let's say then they grow up and they realize, hey, that was a lie. You know, Santa Claus is not real. Santa Claus was not delivering those presents. Now, thank God my parents never told me that lie. They wanted to take credit for what they're paying for. They attributed to some, you know, guy that we don't even know. Sorry, we bought that for you. You know? So, let's say I realize at some point, hey, Santa's not real. You know what I mean? It's my mom and dad that have been giving me this stuff all along. Do you think later on I'm going to go back to say, no, Santa was real? Do you think there's anybody who quits believing in Santa and then goes back and says, no, Santa is real? He's a real, you know. No, it's a one-way street, isn't it? Believing in Santa is a one-way street. There are those who start out believing in him and then quit believing in him, but there are not those who reject him and then later they just confess him and realize him. Santa Claus is really watching me when I'm asleep. I mean, unless the U.S. government's Santa Claus, he ain't watching you 24/7. You know, he doesn't have a surveillance drone or a camera in your phone watching you. So, you know, Santa Claus is not real. And so it's a one-way thing. I believe salvation is the same way. You know, once you realize the truth of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, you don't go back. Because now you have the Holy Spirit inside you bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. I'm not saying that you're not going to doubt as you quench the spirit, as you go into sin and get away from the word of God. Your faith may become weaker and you're going to doubt. But I don't necessarily believe that you're just going to completely just, I don't believe that at all. But here's the thing. Even if you theoretically did, you'd still be saved.
Amen.
Let's say it is possible for a person to say, well, I don't believe it anymore. You'd still be saved because you're still, I mean, if my kids stop believing that they're my kids and say, I think we have a different father. This is not our dad. You know what? They're still my kids. Yeah. Nothing can change that. And it's the same with God. Even if I stopped believing, the Bible says if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so if we have everlasting life, we have eternal life, there's no way to lose that. Even if you theoretically could stop believing, and that could be debatable, you know, to what degree a person will stop believing, you're still saved. You can't lose it. There's no way to lose it. And I have a lot more on that point, but I'm going to close at this point. Why preach this sermon? We need to know that the gates of hell are there. We need to know what they are, that they might not prevail against our church.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Many churches today, they're not identifying these things. They're not warning people of these things. And then they can sometimes begin to creep in. False doctrine creeps
That's
in.
Right.
False teaching creeps in. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church. We will have a born-again membership here. Amen. People who are in our church are saved because they believe the truth. And I'm not saying that Judas isn't here with us, because I'm sure he is.
Amen.
I'm not saying that there won't be wolves that come in and sneak in. But I'm going to tell you something. Either Jesus Christ is in you or you're a reprobate if you go to Faithful Word Baptist Church for a long period of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Because you will be hammered with the gospel at this church. You will be hammered with the plan of salvation. You will be hammered with what's true. And we want it to be that way because we want our people to be saved.
Amen.
That the gates of hell might not prevail against our church. And then we want to go out with those keys of the kingdom of heaven and swing open the door wide for as many people as we can.
Amen.
And pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what our church is about. It's about being saved, and it's about getting other people saved. And you know what? There are many people who go to church for years, and they never get saved, because the gospel's not clear in that church.
Yeah, it's true.
But when you understand the enemy, when you understand the gates of hell, when you understand who's not saved, you can make sure to cover these points and make sure everybody knows them. I mean, you know, there are probably Baptist churches that don't spend a lot of time emphasizing the eternal security of the believer.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
They don't spend a lot of time teaching you why you can't lose your salvation. They don't spend a lot of time teaching you why, if you try to mix works, you're not saved. They don't spend a lot of time teaching you that if people don't hear the gospel, they're still not saved. And I remember when I was in Bible college, and a senior at Bible college said to me, he said, wow, that sermon in chapel was amazing. I've never understood that. The sermon was about why people who've never heard the gospel aren't saved. I mean, guys, so you're a senior in Bible college. You've been at this college for 4 years, and before this sermon, you thought that people who've never heard the gospel still might get a free pass in Africa or whatever. Something's wrong.
Yes.
Not in our church. Let the foundations be strongly laid in this church.
Amen.
Of doctrine. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, the rock of our salvation, the anchor of our soul. Thank you that what we believe is set in stone. Thank you for giving us hundreds of scriptures that teach us that salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Help us not to be deceived. And help us not to deceive ourselves that others are saved when they're really not saved, if they believe these lies and heresies, dear God. Help us not to take those keys of the kingdom and throw them in a lockbox somewhere. Help us to go out and win souls to Christ and swing that door wide open for as many people as possible. Help us not to hide that light under a bushel. Help us not to be like the scribes and the Pharisees who did the opposite of opening that door by shutting up the kingdom of heaven against men, not entering in themselves, and then stopping those from entering that would have entered in. Help us to be the exact opposite. Help us to go out and open that door and compel them to come in, that your house may be filled. Help us to pull them out of the fire. Help us to, by all means, save some. And in Jesus' name we